Hello, friends, and welcome to the show. This episode of HR Oxygen is brought to you by Boss Builders and our program, The Art of Being a Great Boss. In this 13-month masterclass, we'll be taking your managers through a learning journey, which includes topics on communication, performance management, motivation, delegation, problem solving, decision making, team development, and much more. The sessions are virtual live, running 1 hour each month, and we'll do it using our popular sketch and seminar, graphic art and storytelling format. No boring PowerPoints, stale stories, and outdated tools and techniques. The sessions are engaging and provide tactical, practical tools that can be used immediately after the sessions. You can have either your entire organization take our program, or if you have just a few folks, join one of our open enrollment cohorts that start every other month. For more information, visit us online at thebossbuilders.com/masterclass. Well, every year we do what we refer to as our Boss Builders Boss of the Year contest. Now, this is the third year in a row that we've done it. We do it primarily because we find that the most underappreciated people in most organizations tend to be managers. I mean, overall, it is absolutely HR professionals, but managers seem to be unappreciated too. So what we do, and it kind of ties in with National Bosses Day, which happens in October, and I think it's one of those fringe holidays that Hallmark does to sell cards. But we figure it'd be a good opportunity to let our subscribers, if they have a great boss, nominate them. And so there's a bunch of different criteria, and then Rachel and Lisa and I, we sit down and we go through the submissions, and the winning boss, they get a gift card and a gift basket, and then we have them on the podcast. Well, today is that day. Our 2022 Boss Builders Boss of the Year is Shelly Gasson from Airstream in Ohio. Now, Shelly has a really, really interesting background because a lot of folks move into the HR field mainly because they think it's a good degree to get in college. And so we see a stream of folks coming in that way. In other cases, we find HR professionals often become that from roles maybe in administration. But Shelly has an even more interesting background of where she came from. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm going to let her do the talking. That's, after all, the boss of the year. Shelly has a distinction in being a great manager, a great leader, and also a great HR professional. And so that is the topic of the conversation that we are going to have today. I think you're going to get quite a bit from it, especially if you are somebody who is thinking about making the move to management or making the move into HR. So let's go ahead and let Shelly do the talking. You know what time it is. Let's make sure that personal item is tucked underneath the seat in front of you. Make sure your seatbelt is buckled low and across your hips. It's time for us to taxi to the runway.
Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Shelly Gasson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Mac, for having me.
This is a very special day, so for the audience that does not know you, you are the 2022 Boss Builders Boss of the Year. And so what we typically do is October is, there's a National Bosses Day. Now, I'm assuming it's one of those fringe Hallmark holidays they throw out there to sell cards. But we figured we'd take this one really seriously. And so this is the third year that we're running it. Typically, we get anywhere between 10 to 12 nominations for Boss of the Year. There's a very lengthy form that the person submitting fills out. And then Lisa and Rachel and I, we sit there and we look through all the candidates. And generally speaking, we agree, and we all agreed together, the three of us, that you were the number one candidate this year. And so, you know, we do that award because we realize that for the most part, not only are managers really overworked and often underappreciated, but even more so, managers in the HR departments. And so it's even more special this year that we have an actual HR leader as our boss of the year. So all of that set, Shelly, you know your story better than we do. So I was hoping that we could begin our chat today by having you just tell us about your journey and then have that end to what you're doing today.
I'm just so honored and very blessed to have the team that I have here at Airstream. And I was totally shocked when I was nominated for this award. So made me feel really good as a manager and as a person. So stepping back and looking at my career path and what I've done over the years, I think many of the listeners might be surprised to know that I didn't start out in HR. I actually started as an engineer by trade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've always enjoyed solving problems. And one time when I was working at an operations, we were moving the facility to Kentucky out of Ohio. And I was like really intrigued, like, why are we moving? We have people here. What's going on? You know, so my mind was constantly asking questions and trying to understand while I was doing my engineering job of moving. But so I reached out to the VP of HR at this operations, and she sat down with me and we talked about, you know, a little bit about what the company was going through, what was their strategy and lineup, and how sometimes these decisions are really hard. So a light bulb flicked on for me, and I was like, well, I could take some of my problem solving things that I've done on the engineering side, and decided to change my career path and my degree over into more business and HR concentration. So that's kind of how I started in HR. It took me several years to get into an HR position. No, it's probably like everybody else that's on this call or listening, and you know, started in recruiting like many others. And then I had a boss come to me one day and she said, Shelly, I'd like to do some more things around compensation and building out a different comp structure here at the organization. And I was like, well, I've never done that before. She goes, no problem. We'll get you some training. So I did some training with World at Work, which is a huge comp and benefits total rewards venue out there for us practitioners. And took some classes there, and I just started creating a different structure and design, which again, from an engineering perspective, really fed that side for me. And then later she had asked me to do some more benefits, wellness, and I got more, I would say, centralized or in a narrow responsibility in HR, really started doing more of that shared service functions, and then eventually build out a team in regards to that, took on the HR systems, those kinds of things. I would have to say I probably got a little bored after a while. So I was at that place for about 23 years, and I was trying to find a way to get out of HR, to be honest with you, because I got so bored with fixing comp and benefits and the HR system and some other things that I was just like, I need to get back either on the other side of being more with the business and understanding what their needs are, or find something totally different. And I'm one of those individuals that I have to really, if I want to move to a new organization, I have to like the culture. I gotta like the people. I gotta like what they do. I'm just not gonna move. So I ended up, Airstream had contacted me, and I was like, wow, okay, this is interesting. And I was gonna be able to lead a whole team for my, without just being in a function, right? So I was happy about that. Finally made the trip over to Airstream, which, just a little background on Airstream. Now we have about 1,500 associates. Before I came on board, it was right before the pandemic started, 2 months actually. And they had about, I'd say roughly 700, almost 800 associates. And, you know, they started back in 1931 over in Culver City, California, eventually moving to Jackson Center, Ohio. And this is our only operation and location here. And we've been in business over 90 years. So another little cool factor about Airstream, I know a lot of people think of us as our silver bullet that's going down the road being pulled behind trucks and so forth. But we actually have a motorized business as well. And that's been booming here lately with everybody wanting to work outside of their home, like being on the road and adventuring and finding themselves and so forth. So I think that's what really attracted me here. When I started meeting the people, the culture was, I wouldn't say the same, but it complemented each other. And I just felt like I was right at home. But there was so much going on here that I was like, wow, here comes all that problem solving piece that I really enjoy, that I could actually do something here and make improvements. Bob Wheeler, our president and CEO, he was really wanting to take the company into a different direction. So I was like, this is my time. And a lot of us HR folks probably get a little leery about, moving from a company that you've been at for 20 plus years. But, I decided I needed to take that risk and chance. So came on board here, and it's been great. I've built out a really nice team. I've added a technology position as well. But we have been really focusing a lot on building out that culture of engagement. And I think that's helped us when we moved into the pandemic. We didn't have some of our communication with our associates. It just wasn't there. So we created a Facebook page to stay connected. We were down for about 1 month, and that was all due from the state of Ohio shutting us down. But as soon as we were able to restart, we restarted, and that was a great way for us to stay connected with our associates. And it's been booming ever since. So I had to put in a recruiting strategy, had to reset all of our recruiting because we needed to hire a lot of talent. And what was really interesting in learning about Airstream and their past, they never really had to recruit very much. Our associates tended to stay here, and then they would, people would, they would attract by word of mouth, so forth. Family members, they built their own. So we didn't have to communicate very much about Airstream. So that was a big change that we needed to do as well. So started getting us out there on billboards and some other things just to promote Airstream. Did a lot of videos. It's been really great working with the team here, and our marketing team is just awesome. I mean, the one thing about HR that we know, there wasn't a class in marketing and communication. So I did work really hard with our marketing team here. What can you guys do to help us? And even Bob, our CEO and president, he had even asked marketing to drop some of their objectives for the year to help us out. So that was just a wonderful resource to have from an HR perspective. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me and what I've been doing and what we've been doing here at Airstream.
Well, that's amazing. So many things sort of popped into my mind as you were talking about that. And I think the biggest one is, so I have to be very careful with this. There is a perception that I have seen, and maybe in some instances experience, where folks that are into engineering may not be the most people out there, more focused on projects. And so some of the criticism I hear of HR departments is like they forget there's humans involved. And so now we have an engineer running HR. But here's the ironic thing. And this is what, even as I look at my screen, I have the write-up that Aaron did on you. And so much of that is about your compassion, the way that you care for people. And yet you have this problem-solving mindset. So it's the most beautiful balance I think I've ever seen. And I don't know of anybody else who's come from engineering and gone into HR. just like I wouldn't think you'd find the other extreme going in. And even my daughter, when she was in college taking her degree in supply chain, they had a special program that she tried to get into, wasn't able to get into it, where they were going to pair business students with engineers for a semester so each one could see what the other ones sort of struggle with. But you've obviously written a book on it. You've managed to blend those things. So that's amazing. The other thing that's amazing, too, is thinking about the explosion in the market for RVs. I mean, I've certainly seen it out here. Anytime you're driving on I-40, you see tons and tons of those. But it's always that silver bullet that looks so old and yet is probably the most high-tech, best quality out there on the road. Such an interesting dichotomy with that. So a really cool industry, and I guess I can see why you had to blow up the hiring because it seems like everybody thought that was a good idea. We kind of thought about it too until we realized that the truck to pull one of those things is like way more than the thing, and maybe we'd be better off just flying and going to hotels. So yeah, I'm more of a glamper than a camper, I guess, as I get older. But that's exciting for you. So Shelley, let's dig a little bit deeper. Now, you gave us a broad overview, but what I'm interested in is, were there any individuals along your journey that really took an interest in you or really put you in a place where you're, you know, achieving the success that you are today? Has anybody come to mind in particular?
I guess, Mac, I go back to, you know, I could always state some professionals, you know, that has helped me along the way, but, you know, I have to really nod my hat to my husband, Clint. He has been just a huge supporter. So I am so blessed that my spouse and I, he took on more of the role of managing the household and raising our three daughters. And even having daughters has really opened me up as a person to, because, you know, we come with our, I would say women when we're younger, you know, there's all those times going through high school, junior high school, so forth, where I call it drama now, but, you know, working with them and working with my three daughters have just really opened me up from that listening standpoint. You know, I would say that I wasn't always a great listener, but having them and being able to sit there and be like, okay, Shell, you're just going to have to stop trying to solve their problem and stop being like you're at work and really just sit and listen to what's going on. Why do they feel this way? And this generation does feel more different than, you know, some of our past generations and even myself. When I think about what I've gone through as a child and so forth, and just growing up in general. But, you know, from a professional standpoint, I would say all my bosses have helped me along the way in stretching myself. I'll never forget, again, a couple of the bosses that I had that would say to me, well, what are you thinking? You know, because again, being that engineer, I would get so stuck sometimes thinking on a project, and I would wait till I was totally done before I would actually even share what was going on in my head. So those are things that I would say I have had to learn along the way to really stretch myself and getting out of that mindset and being open to share things, maybe even sooner than it was done. And so I've fallen on my face plenty of times, and I think a lot of us have. It's just being able to step back and say, okay, what can I do moving forward to fix this? And having people that would be honest with you. I had a lot of I've got mentors. I even have mentors outside of HR. And I think that that's another thing that we need to understand. I made sure that I was connected to our VP of operations at my past company, and even our COO, you know, just building out relationships with them so I could understand. And then I'll, probably some of my best mentors was more on that VP of finance and CFO side. I really took what they had stated to me, and not as a negative, but as a growing, like a gift, and saying, hey, Shell, you really need to work on this when you're presenting, or get a little bit more detailed or more data around this. So I would always go back and fix those things. And I can remember a couple of times presenting in front of the board. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's my first time presenting in front of a board. What should I do? So I pulled in people and had little mini sessions with them and presented. You know, I have to practice it. This even getting on to, you know, the podcast for me, I had to practice. So it's not something that's very natural for me. And so when Aaron had put in my name for this Boss Builder Award, you know, again, I was extremely humble. And then when I saw that I had to do a podcast, I was like, oh, no. I'm always learning. I'm always grateful for the people that I have around me. And again, I think another thing that Bob Wheeler, our CEO and president here, has offered, we actually have an executive, a coach. So we have an executive coach here. It's the same individual for all of us executives, and we can meet with her as much as we'd like. I actually take advantage of her monthly, and I think that that helps me because sometimes I can get a little too much in my head at times, and she'll bring it back to reality and say, are you really sure that that's what they're thinking? And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So I think that having that little bit of a coach really does help us all. And especially when you go back to thinking about COVID and what all we've gone through as a group, I know I've gained weight. I'm sure a lot of others have gained weight through this whole piece from a pressure standpoint, tension, just people were really concerned. They were coming in and out of the office. Why do I got to wear a mask? What's this? Are they really going to force me to take, you know, get a COVID shot, so forth? So all those feelings and emotions, I really had to pull on the times that I've had to bring my daughters up and just start listening and helping them process what they were going through, but then also helping myself process. So I'd get home and I'd tell my husband, oh, here's how my day had gone. And I'd end up, you know, just talking with him helped so much with getting some of the pressures off of what was going on around us here and what every company was going through during that time period.
Well, I guess you had nobody you could call and ask for advice. You know, no one knew what was going on and when or if it would ever end. And you know, I don't. So would you say that that maybe accelerated your growth and learning? Or do you think that the 2.5 years we've spent dealing with COVID, I guess, God, almost going on 3 now, I guess. Do you think that that sort of helped you grow faster? Or do you think that sort of stunted your growth just a little bit because nothing was planned for? There was nowhere to go and get information or instructions. What would you say?
I would say it definitely helped me grow faster as an individual because, again, data was coming at us from all sides, you know. And I think what's so great is, you know, I would reach out to our local HR association group, ask them what they were doing. We shared. That's the one thing about being in HR. We share stuff with each other because I think we want to know what's going on and what are you doing over there? Because it just helps us in general with not only answering questions from our internal customers, like, you know, my boss and so forth, what are we going to do? But, you know, other ways and avenues as well. But I have to give a shout out to Thor Industries, our parent company. They have a wonderful HR group over there at corporate, and they, you know, created our playbook for us. They spent a lot of time creating our playbook And then they sent that over to us, and we put it in operation. So the team here, my safety team, is just phenomenal. We've got about 4 people on staff here, and we also have an on-site clinic. So I think having all of those things just helped us help our associates understand that we're here for you. And we built little packets for them when they were coming back on board with us, and we were doing our temperature checks. We sat everybody down in our cafeteria and so forth, and we went through videos of this is what's going to change and what's going to happen. So we educated them. And I think we actually, looking back, we even posted that on our Facebook page to get them even ready before they came on board. So again, just having that communication piece really helped us in keeping our associates connected with each other, and then knowing what was going on here, because they were probably concerned as well as we were, are we going to get restarted or not? But we were able to quickly. And I think all those things help. So I would say it's helped me, because I think a lot of us has never even gone through a pandemic, you know. So that's one thing I guess I can put on my resume now, right?
Yeah, and you got some of your best training by talking to your daughters. So how old, well, I'll ask you how old they are, but when they were most influential to you and you're listening, how old were they at the time?
I would say that junior high.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, because if you survive those years as a parent, I think it's where all my hair loss went,
yeah.
You know, and I just had one daughter that we went through that with, but that's impressive. So my last question for you is kind of twofold, because you bring two different hats to the discussion. So what I really want to talk about is somebody who is newly promoted to management. What are some of the tips that you would recommend for them? But I want to build on that as well and give you a second part of that. And that is to the person right now who's sort of kicking the tires on a career in HR. What might you suggest for them just to see if that might be a good fit? So why don't we start with a newly promoted supervisor, then we'll go to that person who's thinking about HR as a career as we wind our chat down together today.
Yeah, sure. Mac, when I think of being a new manager, you have to be open to apologizing and not having all of the answers. So those would be that first thing that I would say. Humble yourself, be open to apologizing and not having all the right answers. And especially if you're moving into a new group that you don't know them, right? You're starting to build relationships, so forth. I would set up some listening sessions with each of them. Find out what they do, what are their job responsibilities, what do they like, where do they see themselves? So you can really get to know them a little bit better. And then after that, do some kind of like either a DISC assessment or Myers-Briggs, some kind of personality assessment that you can find out how each of your team members operate, how they operate, you know, especially if you wanted to put in some kind of change, because then you might have to bring more data to somebody. It's knowing how they all work. If someone's a little bit more direct, how are you going to work with that individual? Those kinds of things, and understanding that. So I think those would be the first couple of things that I would do as a new member. But as that final step, and if it's something that you're not really good at, find someone that is, and you got to create a vision for your team. So they need to know where we're going. So if as a company, from a corporate standpoint, you don't know what the objectives are, find out what those objectives are. And then figure out how are you going to line up your department to meet those objectives and start setting that strategy, because everybody wants to know where we're going. What are we doing? What's going on? That's why they come and they work at some place. They don't want to just do the same thing over and over again. So I think that's a really important step. That's that final thing. And then to say, hey, this is the vision, this is where the company's going, and this is how we're going to help them get there. And at, to me, the very last final thing is to make sure as a new manager coming in that you set then what behaviors you want on your team. Because that's that final step as a manager. You know, when you've hit that moment of point when you can say to someone, or you have it listed in your office, here's all the behaviors I want on my team. And if someone comes in and they're, you know, complaining about somebody else or not getting the correct information that they needed and so forth, I don't know why the company's going down this way. Okay, well, we've discussed these. You know, you could go back to, well, you know, I need someone on my team that's going to support the business as well. You know, I've allowed you this amount of time to do X. We've trained, we've done everything else, but we have to move forward to help our business. Are you going to be one of those corporate leaders or not? So I think those are some of the things that you have to make sure that you've set as a new manager. And that comes with time. So each one of these, you can't do just, you know, right out of the gate, but the listening sessions, I definitely think you can. That'd be like the very first thing that I would set up.
Yeah, that sounds like a great suggestion. I think my experience, at least new managers when I was on active duty, is the first thing we do is come in and change everything without even asking why it's there. So this is most definitely a positive step. So if you're listening, yeah, listen to this, not the other. But Shelley, you have a unique, like a two-sided role here. You're boss of the year, but also an experienced HR leader. So for someone now who is maybe thinking about, hey, I'm getting ready to go to college next year, I'm thinking about HR, or maybe somebody like you, maybe they're in a different function and they thought, boy, HR, that looks like they have so much fun over there. I mean, they have parties all the time. I think I'd like to be in HR. What advice would you have for them?
That's a great question, Mac. You know, my career path was a lot different than many others, maybe. But I would just say, if you want to learn about HR, connect with the HR department and find out what's going on. What do they do over there? So either do a job shadow, you know, connect on like these podcasts or different things that are free for you to join and learn a little bit about something else. I think some areas that HR needs help on is, again, communication. So if you're in that marketing, writing, communication side, you know, you might even want to think about being that internal brand ambassador and come over on the HR side and help us build out a culture, right? Which is so great. So talking about stories of our associates and posting them out on our website, taking videos of our associates at different times when they're in their career path or training. There's so much you can do even from that perspective. But I would definitely get a business degree as well. And then also think about that finance side. So I've been, again, mentored by many finance individuals. And I think sometimes you need to bring that skill set along with you. It's not just about recruiting. That's not all HR does. You've got to figure out also, how do you bring value to the organization? And how do you sell yourself? So either way, I feel like anyone wanting to come in on HR, it's a great field. It's very rewarding at times, and there are times, you know, that it's not so rewarding. So make sure that you have, I wouldn't say a lot of thick skin, but you're going to need to be able to stretch yourself. People do want someone that they can come and talk to. Doesn't mean that you, it's about sympathizing with them, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about picking sides all the time, because you've still got to go back and find out all the other sides of the perspective too. But, you know, be honest with people. I mean, I think honesty is probably the biggest thing that there's a way to deliver that message with honesty, right? But if you're one of those people that likes to people to tell you honestly what's going on, and you can explain it in a way, and you can build people up and you can coach them. I think HR is a great place for many people that are out there trying to figure out what they want to do. I mean, we do training and development too. HR has it all. So why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they have some of the best conferences.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I totally agree that I've gone to a lot of many conferences over the years, and some of them, which is really great. So people have, I would say, you don't have much of a budget to go to some of these training sessions. I always tried the free option first. So I would sit down and meet with vendors when you'd get there, and then they would at least pay for my time being at that conference. And then it was just getting there, right? It's a little easier to sell to your boss and so forth when you're like, this is all the expense I'll have.
Yeah, that's right. And think of all the things I can do. So yeah, justifying it's big. But I think too, there's so many local chapters that, the most I think I've ever seen charge is like $30 for lunch and a speaker. But yeah, if you're thinking about this is a career, the best people to talk to, I think, are people who are already doing it.
Yep.
And because they'll give you all sides of it. Well, Shelley, I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you today. And again, congratulations. And, the fact that you are good enough to have somebody nominate you without you even knowing, that's impressive as well. And so we're grateful for Aaron for doing the nomination. And we thank you for being on. So best of luck in your continued journey. And if you're listening today, this would be somebody who would probably be someone you'd ask questions of if you were thinking about a transition to HR. So you can definitely find Shelley on LinkedIn, I'm sure. And so we'll leave that up to you. But Shelley, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Take care.
Well, thanks for taking the time to listen to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. I hope you enjoy listening to these as much as I enjoy making them. I've learned so much from the guests we've had on the show over the past few years, and I hope that you will continue to listen to us regularly. If you are a subscriber on any podcast app or channel, would you do us a favor and take a moment and leave us a review? We would really, really appreciate it. Also, if you have the time, check out all the offerings we have on our website, which is thebossbuilders.com. We have every other month a SHRM credit webinar that we present, as well as a ton of other events, not to mention our Art of the Great Boss and Art of Being a Great Teammate programs. More information on that site today. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Oh, by the way, you may want to unbuckle that seatbelt. I think we just arrived at the gate.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.